This is the Disaster Recovery Hour. Here's your host, Chris Plunkett.
Hey, good afternoon. We're jostling around here in the studio. We got a couple of people in today, a couple of guests, a couple of friends. It is Tuesday, every Tuesday between 1 and 2 p.m. here at WVNJ, 1160 a.m., The Voice. Just want to say thanks to Dan O'Brien from last week's guest. Dan's from Academy Electric, Electrical Power Systems. Like I said, Dan's the man with the juice. Very enthusiastic. His video is up on the website, and that's drhradio.net, drhradio.net, if you want to check out his website. We basically have what we called 101. Bill produced that program, Power 101, if you will, and Generator 101. And it kind of goes, 101 standing for, like in the old college days, ABCs of generators, the do's and don'ts. And it's, you should check it out because Dan's going to be following it up with a 202 generator video. And that's on YouTube. And Dan's got his links onto us. You go onto our website and numerous links from past shows and Dan's show and numerous others. And, so check out the website and also the comments page. The comments page was flying last week. I don't even think I answered all of them last week. So Greg, Tom and Misha, let's see if I can answer those at later on. If I have the knowledge to do that, so I'll read them out and then during the break, and maybe if you guys are still listening, we'll go from there. Let me see what's happened in the past week. A couple of things, a buddy of mine reminded me about. He listens to the podcast, and he said, you've gotten out of the rhythm of bringing in, experiences that you've had in the past week, which I've always tried to do, but sometimes I get a little jacked up. You get a little, to the daily events, and you get sidetracked. But some of the things that I've encountered over the last week and change, a couple of fires, a couple of floods, also a mold job. And, the show, like I always say it all the time, it's about disasters and reporting about them and the mitigation, but the preparedness of it and the prior to the incident happening. A lot of this stuff is not so much the incident of the fires or floods actually happening, but the recourse that happens that they're not taking care of what they're supposed to be taking care of, meaning, i.e., your insurance company, your management company, the city of New York was involved on one of them, the municipality over here in Jersey was involved in one of them. You give out your premium dollars, you send in your check, things are just not going to be automatically taken care of. So you have to do due diligence on your own part, and there's a lot that goes involved. If you live in a multi, like for example, my uptown job, and I have a job in Midtown. Somebody caused the damage from above, affected several units below, and there are different coverages. And so people don't quite understand. They say, well, I pay my insurance. How come they're not paying? And then I wind up going through their policy and trying to educate them, and they get disheveled. And not to say that they shouldn't be getting disheveled, because that's not their line of business. They really shouldn't know. I mean, you do pay your insurance, but listen, just because you're paying, so the courts don't, some phrase they use, liability of ignorance, or you don't know, and whatever the phrase it may be. Thank God I don't know it in the court of law, but these people, it bogs down claims, losses, fires, floods, mold, and people get sidetracked. And then if there's not a face to the loss, if you haven't met the adjuster, you haven't met your building management company's been absent, they've changed the locks on you. These things happen and occur, and you don't know what to do. And more often than not, your insurance carrier has your we got somebody just throwing things around in my studio. We got the insurance carrier is going to assign somebody to take care of the loss. In this case, it was one of these was a fire. And I become the face, or Service Master Restoration by CPP becomes the face of the loss, and you wind up educating these people on the processes that we have. That and that's what separates from a good company from another company, from one emergency service company to another service emergency service company, is the actual knowledge of that person in the field. But it can go sideways rather quickly, and frustration builds. And so before you even get the trades involved or the ABCs of just emergency services, there's a log jam because there's a miscommunication. So, and a lot of that stuff can be, you can cut that off at the pass if you take a look at your policy or if you ask the certain questions. Now, we talk about it often on this program. You know, call up your broker and say, you know, who do you use in case I have a flood or a fire? Or what are the protocols? What would you like for me to do? Listen, the insurance company doesn't want to spend, you know, millions and millions of dollars across the country on these claims if they can save a couple of bucks here and there by you being a little more prepared. And, you know, most of these things you could have an inventory of your, you can have photographs, pre-loss, pre-fire, pre-flood photographs of your home, even receipts of keeping upgrades on your home. These are the things I've come across, you know, in the course of 20 years of doing the job. And even, you know, I'm still learning. There was something I learned the other day. You know, I'm not fallible. Infallible. I'm still going to make mistakes or expand my knowledge. But there's a lot of things that homeowners and business owners, especially business owners, because now you're responsible for employees and paychecks, and people count on you need to put food on the table for X amount of employees. You know, when I was down in Florida and we did the spring conference with Disaster Recovery Journal magazine, a lot of guys who I had on the show and a lot of guys that and women that I spoke to, they're business owners, but yet, you know, they don't realize that they have a responsibility to keep paychecks flowing. And if you don't have a plan in business, you're in deep trouble, because you know what, employees leave and especially good employees with this economy the way it is, they could be getting scooped up because, you know, the talent pool is not as good as it should be or it is in a particular field. But, you know, there's a lot of things that you could be doing to help out yourself, especially with business continuity when it comes to a business plan. And so with that said, you know, what are the kinds of things you want to ask your agents? You want to ask your agents, again, who's the emergency service company? Who is what happens when, my neighbor's tree falls on my house? Because nowadays, everybody's always looking to point fingers in other directions. They're not willing to take the blame. And I'm not saying it's not a blame game. Insurance carrier is all about taking care of you, the insured. You're paying them. They want to keep you habitable. They want to keep you in your place of business. So the other person who's at fault, let them subrogate down the line. So these are the things that people get bogged down with. And, you explain to them. And I have several vendors that I use in my pool. And they're just as knowledgeable as I am. And, you know, we spend a fair amount of time, again, educating. So if you can help yourself out, you know, ask these questions, you know, review that policy, because it's very important. You know, when people think about insurance, like, it's a boring industry, or I'm an insurance salesman, I'm an insurance adjuster or agent. It's not boring when something bad happens, I'll tell you. You know, like I always say on this program, you want to meet me personally, you don't want to meet me professionally. I think that's pretty much my recap for the week. I'm going to talk about some other things at the end of the program regarding business continuity for businesses, but I think it's time for a little commercial break, and then we'll start with our first guest, and we'll rock and roll from there. Be right back.
If you missed part of today's program or you want to hear the show again, you can do so with the Disaster Recovery Hour podcast. Just go to www.drhradio.net, enter your email address, and the show will be delivered to your inbox. Keep you and your family safe by getting information on being prepared with the Disaster Recovery Hour podcast, available at drhradio.net. When disaster comes into your life and attacks your property, you need action fast. ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP will find the visible and hidden damage caused by a fire or flood. With quick response and correctly applied damage mitigation protocols, ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP can save you valuable time and money and get you back in the game of life. Anytime disaster strikes, quick, focused action is what can save your property. CPP's professional staff is on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. To reach ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP anytime, visit them on the web at www.cppems.com. That's cppems.com, cppems.com. ServiceMaster Restoration by by CPP, servicing the New York metro and tri-state area.
Do you know that there are some emergency shelters that have no emergency backup generators? You can be prepared and have your own emergency generator for your home and business. Hi, I'm Dan O'Brien from Academy Electrical Contractors Incorporated, a full-service electrical contractor servicing the tri-state area since 1981. Our specialty is generators. We give you a complete turnkey installation, service your existing generator, rent you the temporary machine for that planned shutdown or that unexpected power failure. Academy Electrical Contractors can install a generator to protect your family and business from a power grid failure. Power your heating and air conditioning system, keep your refrigerator and freezer running, power your well pump, or power your sump pump. Visit us on the web at academyelectrical.com. That's academyelectrical.com. Or give me a call at 877-SPARKIES. That's 877-772-7597. Academy Electrical Contractors, generating satisfaction 24/7 since 1981.
For every soldier who served in Vietnam, there is a story. There are stories of suffering and strength, courage and self-sacrifice. But as time takes its toll on the surviving veterans, many of these stories could be lost forever. The Education Center at the Wall will preserve and display photos, letters, and memories of veterans so their stories and service will never be forgotten. Visit buildthecenter.org and help us build it.
A message from the Vietnam Veterans Memorial Fund.
In the early hours after the tsunami, it was ham radio that was on the air, saving lives. When Florida was ripped by hurricanes, the hams were there. In the critical moments after the attack of 9/11, it was the hams who coordinated emergency messages. When disasters strike, the hams are ready. Ham radio works when other communications don't. To learn how you can become a ham radio operator, call the ARRL, the National Association for Amateur Radio, at 1-800-326-3942.
There it is. We're back. Disaster Recovery Hour every Tuesday between 1 and 2 p.m. here at WVNJ 1160 The Voice. You know what I didn't say? I didn't say last week was Memorial Day weekend, and we did speak for a few minutes, Dan and I, Dan O'Brien from Academy Electric, about thanking a vet. That, you know, that shouldn't be just Memorial Day weekend. That should be every day you see a vet. And if you can employ them, or if you can get them into the mix at your business, or even daily events, that would be wonderful. I mean, I can't believe, you know, there was an article last weekend with we're losing 700 World War II vets a month. That's mind-boggling. That just shows you how many people served our country, the greatest generation, as they are known. But moving forward, today's guest is Dave Fenuhazi. He is the owner of Fabric Renewal, and Dave and I have been friends for years, and Dave helps me out with my fires and my floods and mold. Dave is, they've been in business, and Dave, how long have you been in business now?
1979.
It's a family-owned business, but Dave and his brother Jim, give kudos to Jim, he's out in the field right now, they have taken a small mom-and-pop store and have blown it into a fantastic organization and a company that serves the tri-state area. Dave and I are on many projects as we speak. I can go on and on. Dave, why don't you give me an encapsulation of Fabric Renewal, and then we're going to talk about jobs. We're going to talk about, you know, a lot of people come up to me. You know what? Back up. You go. You talk about the history of it, and then we're going to rock and roll from there.
All right. Well, Fabric Renewal was started by my parents over 30 years ago. We started as a small mom-and-pop retail dry cleaner, and the way we got into the restoration industry was we had store customers who were insurance adjusters, and they basically said, do you want to get involved in insurance claims? What's that? Oh, wow. Well, it's going out to someone's house, taking a lot of clothes and soft goods that were affected and billing the insurance company. That sounds great. All right. So fast forward 30 years. All we do is restoration. We handle about 1,000 claims a year, and we've got a facility in White Plains, our main facility in Bloomingdale in North Jersey, and another one in Freehold that services Central and South Jersey. And basically, we restore soft goods. So soft goods are anything from clothing, custom window treatments, area rugs, upholstered furniture, fabric walls, shoes, handbags, luggage. So basically anything fabric that you would find in the house are the things that we get brought out by insurance companies to try to save.
And including myself. Can you hear me, Dave?
Yep.
You can hear me right? Including myself, I do come across, you know, our region, people have walk-in closets full of clothing. Shoes are a big thing, obviously, in the woman's world, not so much with the men. Handbags and things like that. You know, I thought, you know, Dave was actually my very first guest 2 years ago. I was on another station, but it's still up on the website. Dave was the first guest for a reason. Dave is as involved in a fire or a flood or even mold as I am, because we're entrenched in people's lives. And Dave has the same mentality I do, and that's why we've had this very solid relationship, friendship-wise, and business, because his ethics are the same as mine, and the follow-through and the communication. It's huge. Unfortunately, we don't get to really spend any time on vacations because we're always servicing. I'm not saying boo-hoo-hoo us, but we're always working, always picking up the phone. Like yourself, you know, we work for these massive insurance companies. Just to name a few, you have State Farm, Allstate, Liberty Mutual. And I'm saying these names out only because they pretty much cover the entire region, our listener region, regional listenership, excuse me. You have Travelers, MetLife, Farmers, High Point, Hanover, to name a few. I mean, it's on Dave's website, which you can see. There's a link off our website. Dave, the responsibility of handling all these claims, like you said, 1,000 of claims, there's only 365 days a year, so that's many claims per day. Do the math. I didn't do that well in school. A good friend of mine, Kenny Franklin, could attest to that. You know, it comes a large responsibility of maintaining your reputation to stay on the list and get the recommendation from these people. So, again, I wanted to give you kudos, and we wanted to talk about the X's and O's of rehabbing furniture, or I should say soft goods and upholstery items. Our friend uptown right now is experiencing those things through a bad fire. Tell me step one when you're coming into someone's home who's been affected, besides their emotional state is completely whacked out, which that's understandable. So talk to me about your processes.
Basically, I mean, at the human level, I mean, you're talking to someone, you're meeting someone who's had probably one of the most traumatic experiences in their life. So their house burned down, they had a severe water damage. So we're there to perform a service and to help them. But number one, we need to establish trust and credibility, console them. I mean, in this business, you know, you're dealing with all different types of people. Some people are crying. Some people are angry. Some people are, you know, we go into fires where people get hurt, people die, pets die. And, you know, it's a terrible environment. And we look at it as our responsibility as one part of the puzzle is to help the people get back to the way they were before. So when our project managers go out to a lost site, I mean, they're trying to establish a rapport with the customer. I mean, if you have a fire in your house, all these people show up. You've got, you know, the people from the insurance company, you've got fire inspectors, you've got vendors, you've got companies that do board up. So, I mean, there's all these people that are involved in the claims process, and the person's head is spinning. So we look at it as our responsibility is to do the thinking for them. So if you have a fire in your house and soft goods are affected, you're not going to be in your house for 6 months or a year. There's a major construction that needs to go on. So we've got to do the thinking for them. What is the clothes they're going to need back right away? You know, what special occasions do they have coming up? What do their kids have to wear? Do they have a vacation coming up? Do the kids play sports and need uniforms for that? So literally we walk them through step by step of this is what's going to happen. We're going to come in. We're going to document everything. We're going to take pictures. We've gotten involved in some new technology now, which allows us to digitally take pictures of every item that we remove. We work with a barcode inventory control system that allows us to track the pieces from the point it leaves the job site to it enters our building and back to the customer to kind of give complete inventory control throughout the restoration process. So, you know, if you're a homeowner, you've got concerns, you know, how do I know I'm going to get everything back? How are you going to clean everything? You know, I've got an expensive leather coat or a fur coat or those custom window treatments cost $5,000. How do I know you know what you're doing? And, you know, a lot of it is educating the customer, answering their questions and concerns, and just making them feel comfortable with the whole process because, you know, we're going to pick up a job, and guess what? We're going to be involved with them for the next 6 months or a year while the whole construction of their house is going on. We're going to have interaction with them, and our job, our goal is to make those people love us at the end of the claim. And if you ever go into our office, you'll see hundreds of framed letters on the walls from past customers who sing glowing reviews of how much we help them during their time of need.
Yeah, you know, Dave is his fingerprints are really, really on almost everything. Because listen, the clothes on your back, and those are the things that Dave's going to respond and restore and rehabilitate. Because you know what, people really don't want to go out and go shopping for new things. They want that comfort zone. They want normalcy. And to talk about, you know, you being in their lives, it's, you're right, you're in their lives longer than I am. After the emergency services, I'm not doing the repairs. I'm gone. You know, hopefully, not hopefully, but I know I'm leaving a good taste in their mouths. But to, you know, after that long process, people get tired. It's like, enough already. I want you people out of my lives. Because like you said, you know, the day of the fire, you have all these people in your life, whether it's business or it's personal. You got the fire department on your front lawn. Then they leave and, you know, you're left there all by yourself. Now what do you do? And, you know, it's a comforted feeling, you know, our relationship, but also your relationship with these numerous large insurance companies. The guys out there that the insurance companies want to recommend have the same thought process. More often than not, it is Dave. Dave runs a very large company. But that psyche is a challenge, isn't it?
It's definitely a challenge, but I mean, we look at every claim is its own claim, and you know,
right.
The volume is having the right people trained who can handle the volume. So if every person handles the claim within our company the same, from the person who answers the phone to the project manager who goes out to the delivery guy who delivers the items back to the homeowner, and a lot of these people come into our facility, we're storing their stuff for a long time, so we kind of market ourselves as their closet away from home while this process is going on. So we welcome them in our office. You know, I mean, they get to know our people, and, you know, we try to bring the personal aspect of our business to them to make them feel comfortable, you know, while everything is going on.
Man, you know, I'm sure you heard it 1,000 times, but I didn't know you guys were out there. I didn't know this business existed. It's now getting more, you know, since the storms are larger and the more frequent, emergency service businesses and companies are out there in the forefront. So it's more, you know, more prevalent now. But, you know, years gone by, it said, you know, I had no idea there was an industry like this.
Yep.
And there is. And, you know, hence the insurance companies and the property managers and the municipalities, they know guys like us exist. But one of the things, you know, especially with the time of a disaster, people are vulnerable. And listen, they'll sign anything. They'll get anybody to help them out. You know, credibility. You said it before. You know, you belong to, it's NARD. It's North American Restoration of Dry Cleaners. Tell me a little bit of that, because I'm gonna kind of segue that into, you know, as a Service Master franchise, you know, we're doing 10, 12 weeks of training, besides the 20 years of training I already had in the field. So talk about NARD, and then we'll segue into the other thing.
Yeah, NARD is it's a national organization. Essentially, it's groups of large independent restoration cleaners like us around the country that have banded together to share best practices, to help improve each of our respective businesses, you know, from a production standpoint to a service standpoint. And, you know, we collectively are in contact with national insurance companies to be considered for national vendor programs. I mean, basically the way the insurance industry is going is, at the high level, corporate insurance companies want to control claims, you know, at a regional level by establishing set pricing, establishing set criteria for response time, and, you know, a guidelines that vendors adhere to. And that's where the industry is going. And our organization is, much like a Service Master or other franchises, you know, are competing for those accounts, and, you know, at the same time trying to help our businesses locally.
Right. You know, becoming a franchise, it was a decision. It was not a difficult decision. But when you think about taking away your identity, but what's led to the franchise for me becoming a franchisee, and now, but you've been part of this association with large dry cleaners, is the credibility standpoint of, you know, you've done the schooling, you've done, your techs have done the classes. So, again, it's not somebody coming in the middle of the night coming in to promise you the stars, and don't worry, your insurance company will pay for it, because more often than not, there's going to be an issue, and then you might be holding a bill someday. So that credibility lends, you know, especially in our industry, vulnerability, you know, people get taken advantage of.
It's true. That's the kind of the sad reality of the insurance restoration business, is that there's a lot of companies out there that are unethical, that, you know, kind of promise the stars to people and don't deliver on it. And, you know, if the insurance restoration industry is a small industry, meaning that the companies that are good are well-known, and most of the insurance companies across the board use them because, I mean, I view my job is to make the homeowner happy, and when I make the homeowner happy, it makes the insurance company happy.
Right.
And the insurance company, at the end of the day, they want the claim to go smoothly, they want the homeowner to be treated fairly, and they want to settle the loss, and that's exactly how we look at it. You know, get the person back to the way they had before. You know, get them back what they had before, no more and no less, and, you know, they're in to get them so that they can move on with their life and, you know, forget about the claim after it's been closed.
And a big thing is pricing. You know, a lot of the programs we talked about, disasters and kind of, kind of like blow it up and make it kind of, theatrical a little bit. But, you know, there's a lot of X's and O's that go behind disasters. And, you know, talk about pricing. We're on these lists because we adhere to their pricing system, because a lot of people, again, think they're going to get hoodwinked in a time of a disaster. So being part of an association, having that credibility is gigantic. I think we're going to shoot for a break. We're going to go for a break. Be right back with Dave Pignahasi, who's the owner of Fabric Renewal, along with his brother Jim, who's out in the field. And we'll continue. We got a lot of questions. The comments page is starting to rock and roll. Be right back.
When disaster comes into your life and attacks your property, you need answers. ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP is the answer. ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP is a full-service emergency services and restoration company. With 25 years of experience in emergency management and restoration, our seasoned team of skilled professionals is ready to assess damages and restore your property to its pre-loss condition.
Who do I call first? What about insurance? Is it safe to stay here? What do I do next?
Fire, smoke, water, or mold, ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP restores your property and your peace of mind. To reach ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP anytime, visit them on the web at www.cppems.com. That's cppems.com, cppems.com. ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP, servicing the New York Metro and Tri-State area.
Valentine's UFO show, watching strange visitors that come and go. The UFO show at Cape Valentine. We're gonna travel through space and rocket through time, exploring what is possible, examining what is logical. Could we really be here all alone?
Are we really out here all alone? Find out on the UFO show with Cape Valentine. Friday afternoons at 1 on WVNJ.
When Americans volunteer to serve their country promises to take care of them when they come home. For a paralyzed veteran, day-to-day living is a major challenge. Paralyzed Veterans of America works to make sure our veterans get all the benefits they were promised from the country they proudly served. A spinal cord injury is an injury for life.
And at Paralyzed Veterans, we are their partners for life.
To help America's veterans, visit pva.org.
What will you build? A wall? A roof? A doorway? Or will you build a stronger family, healthier children, a brighter future? What will you build? Through Habitat for Humanity, volunteers around the world build simple, decent, affordable homes, and so much more. We build stable communities, new opportunities, and better lives. So what will you build? Find out at Habitat.org and help build it.
Welcome back, Disaster Recovery Hour. I need a co-host right now, because I got something I want to ask Dave over here. But anyway, Disaster Recovery Hour, every Tuesday between 1 o'clock and 2 o'clock, WVNJ, 1160 The Voice, with Dave Pignahasi, who is the owner of Fabric Renewal, as well as his brother Jim. He's also co-president. Again, he's in the field, and listen, Jim, I'm always there for you, buddy. But I don't know, where do we go? We go to the comments page. We have technology. Listen, the Fabric Renewal has a system of doing certain cleaning. Maybe we'll wait till the end on that one. Let's talk about what we just talked about. There's the high-end stuff, and then there's the middle-of-the-road stuff. But we treat it, I know I do, and I know you do, some other companies don't, just because you have a bazillion dollars, you're going to get better service than you would if you only have, you know, half a bazillion dollars. But those that's an interesting dynamic that we have to contend with because of, you know, people in our region are, you know, economically well off, if you will.
Yeah, I mean, the high-end claim, it's not necessarily about providing better service, but I think there's more people involved in the claim and there's more communication that's needed. So if we do a high-end claim in Manhattan and, you know, you're going into an apartment that's worth several million dollars, you know, you've got a lot more people involved in the claim. So you've got the insurance broker. You've got, you know, if it's high profile, whatever.
A secretary, an attorney, an
accountant.
Right,
you've got personal assistants.
Yeah,
you've
right.
got housekeepers. You've got all these people. And the reality is you're dealing with all different types of personalities too. And a lot of these higher end clientele have very high expectation levels, which is fine because when you own fine clothing, you know, you can go into a home and you've got area rugs that are worth $20,000 to $50,000. You could spend $100,000 on custom window treatments in very high end apartments and homes. And, you know, a lot of it is setting the expectations with the client, explaining the
Huge.
Process,
yep.
making them feel comfortable. Because the worst thing that anyone can do, really in any industry, is overpromise and, you know, underdeliver. So if you say that you're going to pick up the items and you're going to have it back to them tomorrow at the end of the day, and guess what? If you don't have it done by then, you broke a promise. So we look at everything as a promise, and you're either keeping your promises and you're building the rapport with the customer and the claim is going smoothly, or you're breaking promises and guess what? The claim goes down that road that none of us want to go mm-hmm. down, and you go into damage control mode. And, you know, we like to look at it as being proactive throughout the process, and that helps the claim go smoother.
You know, a friend of mine who was an old employer of mine, I will say his name, Damon Gersh, he's I consider him still a good friend. He told me that about the expectations. You've set them properly, you know, it's pretty much half the battle. I mean, things are things. You know, you could, whether you restore them or they get replaced, but the expectations. And one of the things that happened the last 2 weeks with me was an older woman, you know, pretty much has had it her way her whole life, and she's a very dominating individual, successful. But, you know, every day I said, this process is not going to be done overnight. You need to set that expectations. And I think that's why, you know, you get calls, I get calls, because of that communication skill.
It's a huge part of it. And, you know, the interesting thing with technology now between, you know, iPads and iPhones and Blackberries, I mean, we get emails from our clients 24/7. And
right.
it's, you know, I want to confirm the delivery. I want to have the installation of the window treatments tomorrow at 9 o'clock. And the good thing is having everything documented allows the claim to go smoother. But at the end of the day, we all have a lot of balls in the air and we got to juggle them and make sure that the customer's happy at the end. So, I mean, the real challenge with high-end things is, to be honest, it's the liability. It's the liability mm-hmm. in, you know, if you take possession of designer clothing that's worth thousands of dollars a piece, you know, you need to feel confident that you know what you're doing to be able to restore the item in the cleaning methods, that you're going to get them back what they had before, not lose the item, and, you know, ultimately make the customer happy and comfortable with the process.
Let's, you know what, the comments. Let's go to the comments page for a little bit. We got some other questions that I got jot down. We got a couple from Lori, actually. She's an avid listener. Thank you, Lori. Do you know if handling of the dry cleaning comes under the contents portion of an insurance policy?
Dry cleaning is definitely part of contents. I mean, I think an adjuster best explained to me when you wanted to figure out where coverage comes from, if you took a house and you dumped it upside down, whatever fell out is contents.
Right.
So when you have cabinets in a kitchen, those will generally fall under structure. You know, if you have custom window treatments that are made custom for those windows, those will fall under structure. But if you have ready-made draperies or clothing or bedding, or 99% of what we deal with is falls under contents coverage.
Lori, hope you got that one answered. Also, Lori, your other question is, what about jewelry? How do you safeguard jewelry, and do you need special insurance for jewelry. You do. You actually need, it's called scheduled, just like art, fine artwork. You should inquire that with your broker or your agent if they even offer that. Sometimes there are TPAs, third-party administrators, regarding handling of jewelry insurance. Again, it's a rider. I don't know how expensive it is, but you can definitely obtain it. Again, depending on if you're own insurance company handles that, or they have to go to outside vendor for it. Lauren said, what determines what piece of clothing or furniture can get repaired or replaced? So that's upholstery, Dave. What about it?
That's a good question. I mean, to us, it's all about the severity of the loss. So, for example, if you have a fire in your home, heat is going to be the biggest determining factor in restorability. So, I mean, we go into very, very bad fires where everything is burnt. You know, if you have anything plastic in the room, it's melted. But if things are behind closed closet doors, if things are behind dresser drawers, it gets protection. And that protection, although the items might be covered in soot and have heavy smoke odor, it's protected from the heat. So heat in a fire is the biggest determining factor. When you're dealing with water damage, it has a lot to do with the fabric. So, for example, we restore a lot of leathers, furs, suedes, things along those lines. Leather, you could, for example, leather shoes or leather bags or a leather coat, it can be restored if it gets wet if you're able to dry it properly in a short amount of time. Some items, for example, like fur has the skin of the animal behind it that once it becomes in contact with water, the fur becomes brittle and it loses its ability to hold the fur in place. So, you know, if you have a fur coat that gets saturated, you can dry it properly. You could clean it, but essentially the fur has been compromised, and an insurance claim will often need to be replaced.
Now, did you go for, is there a typical type of class for that type of cleaning?
In dry cleaning, a lot of what we've developed, and a lot of this goes to my brother Jim, who's the production person, he's through trial and error. I mean, we have basically an obsession in trying to find new ways to challenge ourselves cleaning things that are harder to clean, the stuff that nobody is able to clean or wants to clean. So we've tried a lot of different methods, and basically over the last 30 years, I mean, my family, we've essentially come up with about 20 different cleaning methods to clean just about anything made of fabric. So once again, it always goes back to what happened to it, how badly it's affected, and what's it made of, and those are going to be the determining factors. So we get people send us pictures from around the world saying, can you save this, can you save that? And our main business is insurance restoration, but I think people find us online that, you know, there's not a lot of companies out there that specialize in restoring textiles, so we get a lot of interesting questions and challenges thrown at us.
Yeah, years gone by, it was always shoes and handbags. Sorry, ma'am, can't do it. And a lot of guys out there still can't do it. But Dave and Fabric Renewal, as well as the Mad Professor, I guess Jim is the Mad Professor with the challenges, they are coming up with ways to clean and salvage. Listen, at the end of the day, again, it goes back to that, do you really want to go out and buy another fur coat or a leather jacket, you know, the fun one that fits? So if you can salvage, and one of the things that that insureds, as you well as know as well as I do, is can it be clean, can it be restored? The insurance company really rather us restored for them, again, if it's cost effective
is the big thing. I mean, what does it cost to clean something, what does it cost to replace it? But there's also, when you're dealing with an insurance claim, there's also the sentimental value. You know,
right.
You get,
huge.
For example, wedding gowns are one of those things. I mean, or, you know, family, a christening outfit from 30 years ago. I mean, the value of it from an insurance standpoint is not high, but the sentimental value to the person is huge. So we take that responsibility and, you know, we understand. I mean, the things we deal with are personal. Clothing is personal. You wear it. You know, I mean, a piece of furniture in a house, yes, you have it. You may like it. But, you know, when you're putting something on your body, it needs to be cleaned properly. And, you know, the customer needs to feel at the end of the day, do I feel comfortable having my baby wear this blanket that you guys cleaned after a fire? And I always ask myself and tell myself, you know, if I wouldn't want my family to wear it, then I don't want anyone else to wear it. And that's the criteria that we look at in, you know, how we do our inspection, you know, pre and post any type of insurance claim.
How about the green effect? Have people been concerned more with the chemicals? And how do you address that issue?
Chemicals are always a hot topic with people who want to get more knowledge about the cleaning methods. I mean, the good thing about what we do in cleaning fabrics is the majority of fabrics that you find in people's homes can be cleaned in water. So, you know, obviously you've got things that are made of silk, that are made of wool. I mean, those have to be cleaned in dry cleaning machines. And, you know, there's alternative solvents out there today that are considered more environmentally friendly than some of the older technology. I mean, one of the advantages that we have as a larger company is that we invest in technology. We invest in new cleaning methods where a small dry cleaner has one dry cleaning machine. And guess what? That's the dry cleaning machine they're going to have until it dies. And right. It might be 30 years from now. So if we find that there's new technology, if we see it at a show, guess what? We go and grab it and we try it. And, you know, we're constantly reinvesting in new methods that are going to provide, you know, not only a safe environmental cleaning solution, but at the end of the day, it doesn't matter if it's environmentally safe. If you can't get the smoke and the soot out, then, you know, it doesn't work.
We'll go to a break, continue a little bit with that. I got another question on the cleaning method. Pay bills, see some commercials. And by the way, listen to these commercials. A lot of them are PSA announcements, Wounded Warriors, Pets. Check them out. They're good. They're enlightening and they're educational.
If you missed part of today's program or you want to hear the show again, you can do so with the Disaster Recovery Hour podcast. Just go to www.drhradio.net, enter your email address, and the show will be delivered to your inbox. Keep you and your family safe by getting information on being prepared with the Disaster Recovery Hour podcast, available at drhradio.net. When disaster comes into your life and attacks your property, you need action fast. ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP will find the visible and hidden damage caused by a fire or flood. With quick response and correctly applied damage mitigation protocols, ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP can save you valuable time and money and get you back in the game of life. Anytime disaster strikes, quick, focused action is what can save your property. CPP's professional staff is on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. To reach ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP anytime, visit them on the web at www.cppems.com. That's cppems.com, cppems.com. ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP, servicing the New York metro and tri-state area.
You, my friend, have connections in the government. Yes, you. USA.gov, the official source for government information on thousands of topics. And like any good connection, there's no telling where it can take you. Why, one day you're getting student loan information. Next thing you know, you need job hunting tips. Today's rogue construction info could have you searching for telecommuting ideas tomorrow. The more you use USA.gov, the more uses you'll find for it. Passport applications, for example. They've been known to lead to a sudden interest in travel advisories. Our new mobile apps will even update you on the go. So whether you have information to get or ideas to give your government, check out USA.gov. Who knows? Lottery results today could lead to retirement planning tomorrow. USA.gov. With the right connections, there's no telling where you can go.
Do you know that there are some emergency shelters that have no emergency backup generators? You can be prepared and have your own emergency generator for your home and business. Hi, I'm Dan O'Brien from Academy Electrical Contractors Incorporated, a full-service electrical contractor servicing the tri-state area since 1981. Our specialty is generators. We give you a complete turnkey installation, service your existing generator, rent you the temporary machine for that planned shutdown or that unexpected power failure. Academy Electrical Contractors can install a generator to protect your family and business from a power grid failure. Power your heating and air conditioning system, keep your refrigerator and freezer running, power your well pump, or power your sump pump. Visit us on the web at academyelectrical.com. That's academyelectrical.com. Or give me a call at 877-SPARKIES. That's 877-772-7597. Academy Electrical Contractors, generating satisfaction 24/7 since 1981.
This is it. It's fourth quarter. End of the ball game. Disaster Recovery Hour every Tuesday between 1 and 2 p.m. Dave and I were just laughing because Dave was, like I said at the beginning of the program, he was my very first guest, and we taped it then, and we had this clock. It was almost like prehistoric times. I had a clock, and I had to manage the clock, and I wasn't doing very well, and I had a lot of cuss words in there.
Bill, you've come a long way, Chris.
Yeah, thank you very much. I do this once a week, Dave. Anyway, let's go back to the comments page. We do have a question from Don. It says, my basement always smells like mildew. It never floods, but it smells like mildew. What are the best couch fabrics, window treatments to use down there, and how do I get rid of that smell?
Basement mildew is obviously a pretty common issue within people's homes. The challenge is anything made of fabric is porous and it retains odors. So what I usually recommend people is the more fabrics you can get out of the basement, the better. So if you can tile a basement as opposed to carpet it, do that. Leather furniture seems to do a better job versus other fabric furniture as far as repelling odors. And to be honest, if you can do shades versus draperies, that's going to provide a better situation. I mean, obviously, you want to have a dehumidifier running all the time, if possible, if you have heavy mildew odors. But, you know, from a fabric standpoint, the less you can have in a basement, the safer things are going to be. Because the one thing about fabric, especially when you're dealing with basements and mold, is if you have high moisture content and you have any presence of mold, mold will very easily grow in fabric items. And once you have mold intertwining in fabrics, you can make it invisible, but it's impossible to remove.
So it is impossible to remove.
And it's important to draw a distinction between mildew and mold. Mildew grows on the surface and literally can be wiped off of a fabric item. But mold grows essentially like a plant. It interweaves itself in the fabric. And, you know, person who has a hypersensitivity to mold, you can kill the mold, but that sensitivity will still be around, and that person will have a reaction to it.
Man, that psychological effect. Spent a couple of days in the academy just talking about psychological effects of fires and floods and odors in the head.
I think they call it heightened awareness.
Heightened awareness. Brenda, a question from Brenda. When you are unable to restore the contents of a home or business, how do you dispose of the items? And are you able to recycle or sell it for scrap, or does it go straight to the dump? Which is a great question, Brenda, because Dave's got this fantastic answer. And listen to this.
We have a program with the Salvation Army where if you think of the average house, people have a lot of stuff. I mean, if you look in your own closet, you probably wear the stuff in the middle and the far left and the far right, you know, doesn't fit, out of style, haven't worn in years. And if you have an insurance claim, if you have a fire in your house, now all this stuff needs to be taken out of there. We look at it as this is an opportunity for people to clean out their closets. So we set up a program with the Salvation Army where we basically have the homeowner pull out the items that they don't use anymore. We inventory those items. We clean them at no charge, and we donate them to the Salvation Army. And then the Salvation Army sends a tax receipt to the homeowner. So the cool thing about the program is, you know, the insurance company is not wasting money cleaning things that the people don't use anymore, which is a big pet peeve of insurance companies. You know, they want to clean things that are cost-effective to clean, and if people don't use them, it doesn't make sense to clean them. It encourages people to get rid of the stuff they don't use, and we're able to help the local community at the same time. So it's pretty – we've been doing it for a couple of years, and the feedback and the participation by people has been fantastic.
That's very cool. That's very cool. I've been in the stores because I do donate. My wife was telling me, about 3 or 4 years ago, that the stuff they put in the bins, they just rip up anyway and make rags out of them. So that was kind of disappointing. I didn't know that. So using the Salvation Army is a plus. You know, it makes you feel good and you're doing the right thing. There's nothing wrong with that. Not enough of that going around. That's for darn sure.
Absolutely.
Leanne, question from Leanne. I am sure you were concerned with peach. I think we talked about it or touched it just very quickly. I'm sure you were concerned with people and their allergies after a fire or water loss. What do you use to eliminate the ravages from the smoke or mold? And is there anything used in the cleaning process?
Very good question. So one of the things that we do when someone has a fire in their house is we need to know how they clean their stuff. So, for example, I mean, a certain percentage of the population has allergies. So if they use a special detergent, if they use fragrance-free or hypoallergenic, we want to know exactly how they clean their items. So the detergents we use are made to get the smoke and soot and the contaminations out of it. But a lot of times we will either re-clean things in their own detergent to allow the items to come back to them, you know, smelling the way they're used to being smelled, and, you know, they're to make the person feel comfortable with the process. But I mean, it's challenging because people have severe allergies. I mean, if you're not cleaning things the way they normally clean them, then they can have a reaction.
Yeah, you know, that's a who says I didn't learn something today. That's really investigative project managing.
It's the other thing is, I mean, just in the world of home laundry is what people dry and what people don't dry. So some people, they take everything that they wash and they throw it in the dryer and nothing you could do could ever damage it. But some people take everything made of cotton and they lay it flat to dry. And guess what? If we throw it in the dryer, we shrunk it and we're responsible for it. So we go through a pretty detailed list of questions to really get a good understanding of how people care for their things so we can mimic that in our cleaning process.
Now, this is the reason why I count on Dave for the last, 11 years. Because other people would just come in, they would bag your clothes, and away they go, and, pretty much hope for the best. But managing your personal items like that, that's challenging, and to have the right questions in place to answer or to ask, I should say, and hopefully you get the right answers. But again, these are, we've done some shows where a guy called in a couple of times from a non-government organization from Japan, and, these big things, the new tsunami and what's the effects of supply chain disruption and on the major industries, business continuity, and so on and so forth. But you know what? The beauty about the program today, especially about today, is this is everybody. Everybody has clothing, unless you get locked up or you walk around nude. But this affects everybody. This is these items that you're dealing with is it's their it's not their livelihood. It's their personality. It represents their personality.
Yeah, and some people get the perception that if you have a fire in your home and everything had to be replaced, that's awesome. You get to go shopping, and going shopping is fun in small amounts. But if you have to go replace everything you own, it's a bear, and people don't want to do it. I mean, generally, people like the stuff they have, and if you can save it and get it back to the way it was before, they love you at the end for it.
Yeah. Well, a couple of quick tips. Emergency clothing after a fire or a flood. They have a comfortability zone. Take it to a local or bring it, put it in the car and wait for you to show up. What's your thoughts on that?
If it's a severe loss, if it's a bad fire or things that are, soaking wet from water damage or have, mold contamination in the area, we usually recommend people not take it to the local cleaner. I mean, the problem is if you have a fire and you take clothes and the local dry cleaner throws it in the machine, a lot of times if they don't effectively deodorize and remove the smoke odor, the drying process will seal the smoke odor in. So we'll get stuff back on the back end, and it's very difficult to remove smoke odor from something that hasn't been properly cleaned the first time. If it's a light fire, if it's just lightly affected, then yeah, they can wash it themselves. They could take it to their local cleaner. But when you're dealing with more severe losses, it needs to be professionally cleaned. I mean, there's a big difference between what a company like mine does and a local dry cleaner who's dealing with, the everyday just shirts and pants and stuff like that.
Yeah, I agree. And because a lot of people say, I know my guy down the block. He's good. I'll take it. And I actually say, hold on a second. You've had a fire. Just like you said, it could permeate and just stick in there after they do their regular cleaning and their drying. My wife's done that a couple of times. But another question from, I have one from Carol. It says, after my mom passed away, my family heirlooms were shipped to me, and unfortunately they smelled mildewy, and I can now smell it throughout the house. Will this go away in time, and can I take these items to a regular dry cleaner? And I think Dave answered that, but expand on that.
The one thing about I don't know if, Chris, you probably on past episodes have talked about ozoning and the effects of deodorization. I mean,
right.
Ozoning is a process that helps remove odors from items. So when we deal with things that have a heavy mildew smell, it goes into an ozone chamber, which is essentially you're taking oxygen, O2, and electrically charging it to create ozone, which breaks down odor molecules. So it's not a cleaning process, it's a deodorization process. So we will use that on items that have heavy smoke smell. Doesn't work as well with like pet smells, but mildew and mold, it does help alleviate those. The biggest thing with heirlooms is what is the condition of
storage,
the fabric items.
Right,
you know,
right.
If they're falling apart, you're very limited in what you can do, regardless of who's handling it.
Right, right. how long has it been sitting in the closet? And
yeah, I mean, things throughout age, I mean, they get what's called dry rot, where literally the fabrics will disintegrate. And if they crackle in your hands, if they're, you know, if you can hear crunching when you're moving it around, there's not a lot anyone's going to be able to do because you're limited by cleaning methods because literally the fabrics are falling apart.
Just a misnomer about the mothballs, are they actually productive?
No, and that's a good question also. Moths are going after the food particles that are left in coats. So one of the reasons why they say that you should dry clean your coats at the end of the season is they're going after the food that you left in there. So if you dry clean all your stuff and put it away for the winter, you'll never have an issue with moths.
Hey, I'm getting little kudos from Leanne. It said, I had an odor in my bathroom for over a year. This has nothing to do with fabrics or fabric and all. So sorry, Dave, I'm going to steal a little bit from you. I had an odor in my bathroom for over a year and couldn't get rid of the smell. I used Clorox and many other things, nothing. And then came Chris. Came to the rescue. Look at this. I'm getting a little pat on the back.
Nice shout out.
Nice. For myself, right? White plain vinegar down the shower drain and tubs, and guess what? No more odor. Thanks, Leanne. Appreciate that. I also definitely appreciate Dave. Dave is the owner of Fabric and Old, Dave Fenuhazi, who said I always butchered his name over the years, but not any longer, along with his brother Jim, who's co-president. I appreciate you taking time today. What's the websites and links and things like that that people can go directly to you? They can get it off mine, drhradio.net, but you also have your own.
Best place to go is to our website, fabricrenewal.com. There's a lot of information, cool before and after pictures, and good information for people who are, you know, especially if you've had some type of insurance claim at your house.
Yeah, cool. And authors that you have worked for and still work for, and I'm sure if you take a look at it, one of these carriers are your own insurance carrier, so, you know, there's credibility there when Dave shows up at your front door, whether it's Dave, Jim, Ben, and some of the other guys who are project managers. Again, my friend, appreciate you taking some time down here at WVNJ.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me, Chris.
All right. Well, we'll talk to you soon in 2 years, right?
I'll be ready.
That's pretty much it. Well, we wrapped that up. That was about 4.5 minutes of a show. It seemed like we were flying. The first time Dave and I did it, we were taping and it took forever. I was a little wet behind the ears. I think I might be a little wet behind the ears still on some other areas, but I think we're going to rock and roll a little earlier, but we will always say, you know, God bless our country. Let's end the war. Bring home our troops. Thank a vet. Always thank a vet. And even the past vets, Vietnam, Korea. My dad was in Korea. Father-in-law's in Vietnam. World War II, dying 700 a month. That's an insane number. But besides that, I think that was enlightening. The comments page was rock and roll. God bless our country. We'll talk to you next week. Be safe.